This is the Angry GM, and this recording you're now listening to, or if you happen to be sitting here live, this live audio interaction that you're sitting there listening to, is the follow-up supplemental question and answer portion of the proofread aloud of the article that I have just finished proofreading aloud and publishing called Rules for Thee, But Not for Me. And now I'm going to open up the floor and take some questions from the assembled audience until I get frustrated with their questions or until they stop asking questions or until some amount of time that my producer Procillus tells me is up. And I'm going to start with Noided, who asks, why do you think Elden Ring combat design is a step back for the Souls series? And the answer, why do I think that? Because it is self-evident and obvious and true, and I like to think only correct things. I find it really cuts through the crap if you limit yourself to only holding beliefs in your head that are accurate and true of reality. So I think that because it is. If you want to know what specifically the issue is, I mean, that's a whole other long speech and probably off topic for this, but what the hell, I only have one other question in the queue right now, so I might as well discuss it a little bit. The biggest issue is actually, and you know what, it's actually because Dark Souls got into an arms race with its players. The Soulsborne engine got into an arms race with its players, okay, where the initial combat design, there were certain ways that you could figure out how to play the combat design, which then allowed you to sort of kind of shut your brain off and automate it. So, for example, if an enemy was making an attack and you got used to exactly when to press the dodge button, every time you saw the enemy warm up the attack, you could just press the dodge button at exactly the right moment because you knew the timing perfectly, and then the attack would just swing right through your iframes, which is fine, that does count as learning the enemy, but then it turns every combat to a memorization problem, where if you just learn the feel for every one of the enemy's telegraphed attacks, whatever. So what they start doing then is they start adding strange wind-up times, where there's a long anticipatory animation, because there's phases of animation, right? And so there's a phase of anticipation, we call that a wind-up or a telegraph, where you can see that the enemy is getting ready to launch an attack, and then you need to, like, you need to dodge, if the enemy holds that, right? If the enemy holds the anticipation phase, you can't get used to the timing. You actually have to watch for when the attack is coming. And that's when you have to hit the dodge. You can't just memorize the timing, or you're much less able to memorize the timing, because there is still a point where you can get a feel of the timing unless the actual wind-up portion is variable and the attack then comes very, very quickly. And then, of course, there was the issue where you could just circle strafe around an enemy, and as the enemy was raising to drop their attack, they would miss you because the enemy doesn't respond to your movements while it's in its attack animation. So then they added tracking attacks, where, like, you know, now you would scooch a little bit to the side, and as the enemy was launching the attack, they would spin to bring the attack into contact with you, making it much harder to sidestep unless you sidestepped at exactly the right moment, and on and on and on and on. And this was necessary for maintaining the level of challenge that Souls players want, because it was actually kind of getting really, I'm not going to say easy, because you still had to get good, but it was getting easy to get good because it became just this memorization of the timing problem. And so the Souls designers started to play with different tool sets and different ways of doing it. They had different combat engines, like the one you see in Sekiro, which, full disclosure, I have not really played much of Sekiro, but I do know that it does have a different combat design framework. And like Bloodborne had a different combat design framework. And even, like, I'll say this one from, like, Bloodborne I love, and I played the hell out of it. It's my favorite. And I can tell you every difference on a fundamental design level between that and basic Dark Souls. But then also, if you go to something like Dark Souls 3, Dark Souls 3 is actually a lot different than Dark Souls 1. Especially in the enemy movesets. And this is really where the key is. The key to all of Souls' good-feeling combat was actually in the enemy movesets. It wasn't in the character builds. It's all about the enemies. Okay. As the arms race continued, there reached a point where, by itself, even things like tracking attacks and invariable time, like windups and things like that, were no longer sufficient, because you could still sort of memorize the timing and you weren't really reacting to what was happening on the screen. And at the same time, there reached a point where the needs of 3D animation got in the way, because you literally can only make a 3D model move so fast before the animation looks janky, before the character is just like teleporting, like its sword is just teleporting from point A to point B with nowhere in between. And because they had to keep speeding up the character's movements. So they get into this position now where there's really nothing more they can do with playing with the timing. And so they ended up going with a lot of things like very odd hitboxes or animations with lingering or attacks with lingering collision. So even if you dodged through the attack, if you didn't dodge in just precisely the right direction and you weren't far enough away, you would then end up still taking damage from the aftershock. Or just completely undodgeable or unblockable attacks where the area effect is just so big that the only thing you can do is be way the hell away from the enemy. Which is why you get into a point in Elden Ring, and I have now been playing Elden Ring seriously. I had not played it seriously before. I've now been playing it seriously now, like really trying to knuckle down and beat it. And one of the things I've noticed is that the combats with the bosses take for fucking ever. And the reason they take forever is because most of the time what I find myself doing is staying away from the enemy so that it can go through this acrobatic variable length, sometimes 5, sometimes 7 hit combo, because there's no dodging it and there's nowhere for me to punish it in the middle or interrupt it. So I just have to stay the hell away from the enemy until it gets tired of doing that. And then I can run forward, do my little butt poke, and then dodge the hell away. And meanwhile, a lot of the enemies, because again, they're trying to kind of like trick you into being impatient. A lot of the enemies now spend a lot of time in idle animations where they're just kind of like walking back and forth, you know, like circling you and watching you and, you know, not doing anything. And you're staying way the hell away from them and circling and watching them. And I'm sitting here like, this is just boring now. It's not fun anymore. The best way to play, because I like to play a melee build, and I know that's the wrong way to play too, because even though Dark Souls revolutionized melee combat, what you're supposed to do is get a bow and some magic spells and summon a friend and summon 17 different ash spirits and just rip an enemy apart and watch while all of that does the work and you're not in any damage at all. But ultimately, it just led to this point where the fights are boring. There's too much unavoidable damage. There's too many times where the enemy is just like reading your controller input, where if you hit the heal button, the enemy will sometimes, based on RNG, just sometimes fling a knife at your face, you know, just to enter, which totally, totally reasonable. Okay, but it means you can't then learn the attack patterns and discover, okay, here's where my safe window to heal is, or create a safe window to heal. A lot of times now, the enemies will have animation canceling where they will just interrupt one animation in the middle and switch to another. Usually it's one of those things in responses to, like, oh, you hit dodge roll and my random number went off, so now I have decided that I step forward before I attack because you hit dodge roll and I know that. What was the question? I guess I should move on. Anyway, that's my short analysis. For a longer analysis, you know, like, buy me a drink and sit me down for 3 hours and I will tell you everything that went wrong. Which is not to say that I'm not enjoying Elden Ring. I am enjoying Elden Ring, but what I'm discovering is that in Elden Ring, the boss fights have become the worst part. Whereas I used to think the boss fights were my favorite part. Now they're just boring. Diego, the common framework for the different rules can be, for example, the same core engine of D&D stat... The common framework for the different rules can be, for example, the same core engine of D20 plus stat plus competence versus DC/AC. I need some people to occasionally add some punctuation. Because that's actually really hard to parse. But I think what is being said here and what I think is what we're going to go with, so don't try to clarify at this point what I think is the answer you're getting now. Are you asking that when I said you can build different rules on a common framework, one example of such a common framework would be a universal action resolution system like the D20 system? The answer is yes, that's a start. The problem is that often people forget that there's a lot more mechanics to even a simple role-playing game than just action resolution. For example, the action economy, the rule that says this is how we resolve who takes a turn when and how many actions you can do and what things you have, those are also mechanics. And those have nothing to do with the D20 mechanic. For example, the resources that you spend to use powerful abilities like spells and spell slots, totally not tied to the core resolution mechanic. So while yes, that is a common framework and it is going to underlie basically everything in the game, there's a lot more foundational mechanics before you start getting to the variations between how monsters do things. Like, although there does need to be a common framework for turn order in combat, because initiative-less combat doesn't work, nonetheless, that does not mean that the monsters have to have the same number of turns as the players, or that they have to be able to do the same numbers of things on their turns as their players, nor does it mean they even have to take their turns the same way as their players. For example, you could have a rule that requires the monsters to declare actions before initiative is rolled, but the players declare actions on their turn after initiative has rolled. That's an interesting one. And that's sort of close to what AD&D Second Edition kind of does, except it does one stupid thing and says the GM's allowed to keep that shit secret. October Foundry. What methods or rules of thumb... I hate rules of thumb so much. What methods or rules of thumb do you have for designing good challenges and systems that don't include challenge ratings or similar encounter design tools? I got none. Because that is too broad a question. You're asking me, so I could have 17 different role-playing games, all with completely different mechanics, none of which has a challenge rating system, and you're asking me what method or rule of thumb do I use to design a good challenge across all of them? The answer is there is no way I could come up with methods or rules of thumb. This is what you do. If you want to learn how to design adventures for a system that doesn't give you scenario design tools, the answer is first, play a bunch or run a bunch of published adventures. The game's not telling you how to build scenarios, so you're going to have to figure that out by running published adventures. If there are no published adventures to run, I was going to say if there's none that you like, but that's not a valid answer. If there's none that you like, run ones you don't like. Tough shit, suck it up. But if there's none published, or you've run through all both of them that were published for your shit little indie Kickstarter one shot and done project, and now you want to run this game that gives you no tools to do it and has no published adventures, well, then the next thing is you're just blindly guessing. Good luck, and eventually you'll sort of settle on how it works right. Okay, don't discount experiential learning and intuitive knowledge. You will gain those as you keep running the system. The problem is, along the way, you're gonna make some mistakes, so be ready to adjust for them or, like, apologize for breaking a character's skull. Guy Quail, how would you fix the broken action economy to fix problems like tank and spank battles and low? What is your issue with multi-attack? The issue with multi-attack, first of all, is that every fucking monster needs it just to have the right damage output. And when every monster needs the same trait just to have the right damage output, that means you designed your damage output calculations stupid. Okay? Anyway, as far as how to fix the broken action economy, there's 10,000 different ways you can do it. Like, there's a lot of different ways, but the first thing to understand is that every creature cannot have the same number of turns on which they all do the same number of actions. That is why D&D's action economy is broken. It is broken because the game designers refuse to accept you just can't build your initiative order that way. Not when you can have any number of monsters facing any number of player characters. It just doesn't work. Okay? You need to drop that constraint. And at this point, that is a constraint. It is an assumption. It is something they are bringing with them. Everyone must have the same number of turns and the same number of actions in one round. Every time, each character in the combat gets to go once before any other character gets to go again. That's already a problem. If you drop that assumption, then you can probably find all sorts of different solutions. But if you hold yourself to that constraint, nothing else you do is gonna fix it, because it's the constraint that's breaking the action economy. Okay? So that's it. And beyond that, no, I'm not gonna sit here and give you 10,000 different answers, because then I'll be giving away my trade secrets. And I don't want D&D making a better game than I do by stealing my work. Sorry. And also because, I've probably only got a few minutes left anyway. And that covers it. We've got no more questions. I've pretty much answered all the questions. Half of it was a speech on why Elden Ring sucks. Or at least that's what everybody's going to hear from what I said. Angry said Elden Ring sucks and D&D should be too easy for the babbies. But, what can you do? So thanks everyone for asking questions. Noited, Diego, October Foundry, Guy Quail. Thank you, Proselus, for producing. Thank you everybody who sat in and listened to this horseshit. And I am